Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Hello and welcome to this edition of your one-hour inspirational program. I'm your host, I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. We've got a very good program planned for you tonight. If you're just joining us, the topic tonight is when it comes to your relationship with God, do you have an if faith or a though faith? We're going to get started and we're going to welcome one of our co-hosts this evening. We're going to go ahead and welcome Daring Deedy. Daring Deedy, thank you for joining us this evening. It's always a pleasure to have you on with us. Good evening.
Good evening. Hello, everybody.
Good. It's good to have you with us, and we trust that you're ready for tonight's story.
Yes,
I mean, ready for tonight. Yes. So,
are you asking me a question?
Yeah, we're just asking you if you're ready for tonight's show.
Oh, I am, absolutely, yes. I'm all studied up and ready to go.
Good. Okay, excellent. So we're going to invite the presence of the Lord into our program this evening. Father in heaven, we thank you for being with us. We thank you for the multitude of blessings that you bring our way each and every day. And now, Lord, we invite you into this programming, and Lord, we're trusting your faithfulness that the people will gather more than what they brought to the program and that they will leave glorified in your name and in your honor. These and other blessings we thank you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. All right, so having said this about tonight's topic, let me ask you this question. When it comes to relationship, do you know what we mean when we're saying do you have an if faith or a though faith? Do you know what I'm referring to when I talk about that, by any chance?
I was thinking you were talking about through faith. I thought there was a missing R in there. Through faith is accepting the salvation from the Lord with no means on what we do to get it. He has, as long as we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. And then there's if by faith. And you have faith, but you're not really, there's no fear of any repercussions of whatever the outcome is because you understand that God has no control over the end result if you go if by faith.
Yeah, well, so it's not through faith. That wasn't it. The wording was correct.
Mm-hmm.
If or though faith. So we're going to explain that probably in the next 5 to 7 minutes.
Right.
And break it down to exactly what we were making reference to about having that type of faith. When it comes to your relationship with God, do you have if faith or do you have though faith? And so, we're going to break that down in probably the next several minutes. So I want to, I want to just expound momentarily about God's faithfulness. So we've heard people often say that God is faithful. God is faithful to me because God is not like man, subject to changing his, his word in terms of or changing his mind or disappointing us. God is there. God knows he's going to do. He knows why he's doing that. and he owes no one really an explanation for it. So God is faithful because we don't have to wonder if the sun is going to come up today. Maybe the weather is inclement like we're having in Florida, and we have the threat of a tropical storm. But, you know, at some point we do have confidence and faith that the sun will shine. And so having said that, even when we go through some deadly storms, when we go through deadly weather, whatever the situation is, we know that God is going to bring the sunshine at some point to brighten up things. And we know that no matter what it is, so we have to look at that as saying, you know, God is in control. We're not in control. And we have to really realize that, you know, all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord. So that's my take on God is faithful. God is faithful. God is always going to be there. He's always going to be there. So when you hear these thoughts, when you hear these words, what comes to your mind about God being faithful, Darren Deedy?
God being faithful is, it's hard to put into words. He is faithful. He does promise to love us unconditionally, not for sacrifices we do for him or to boast about things that you do for him. He just loves us unconditionally. We all need to understand that. And no matter how bad you may feel like you've done something wrong, he loves us unconditionally, and there's always repentance that we can do that relieves. He'll always love us no matter what happens, what we've done. That's my definition.
Okay, so but does that mean, now my understanding is, it doesn't mean that we can go ahead and do whatever we want to do, or it does. We can actually do whatever we want to do because we have free choice. We have free will. But with that comes responsibility, and with that comes consequences. So even though we're looking at the prospect of forgiveness from God because of his unconditional love for us, it does not mean that we're going to go without suffering those consequences of our behavior, our conduct, our action. Your thoughts on that? And we're waiting for our other calls to press one. You must press one. We're waiting for Sister Naya, who's on the line. If you press one on your dial, we'll bring you in if you're ready to come in. So what is your take on that, Dylan, having to face the consequences, Darren Deedy?
Yeah, no, I'm not saying that it's okay to, you know, go off and kill and commit adultery and just run around being a heathen of any sort like that, but we tend to be hard on ourselves for this, that, or the other, just everyday things in life. We may feel like we're failures of parents, a failure of being a supportive spouse, whatever it may be. We shouldn't be so down on ourselves. Mistakes happen, and we need to learn to forgive ourselves, knowing that the Father has forgiven us, and not to be so hard on us. So
I think that's a very, very good point. So I do want to get into explaining if and though faith. I recall Dr. Martin Luther King giving a sermon, and it was one of the most impressive sermons that I have heard, and I believe that sermon is still relevant to today's time. And this sermon was done well over 40-something years ago, and he passed away, I think, in 1968, I believe. And so it's been, and that sermon is still relevant, to, in my opinion, to today's time. And so what I want to be able to say is that when he talked about the if faith, he said he was making reference to some of the Bible characters and he referenced that to people of modern times. Well, Lord, if you bless me with a house, if, here's where we start with that hypothetical, the word if. if you bless me with a car, then I will go to church and worship you. Lord, if you bless me with a house, Lord, then I will serve you even better because I can bring people over. Lord, if you bless me with a husband or a wife, Lord, then I will slow down my attitude, my behavior, my conduct out here. Lord, if you, and it goes on and on and on. You're trying to set up a condition with God. God, if you do this, then I'm going to do that. God, if you do this, I'm going to do that. And then you have, that's what I mean by the if faith. Do you have if faith based on what you want God to do for you? God, if you do this for me, then I'm going to do this for you. I will worship you. If you make me rich, then I'll give $100,000 to the church, to your cause. You know, Lord, if you do this for me, then I'll do that. And then you have the though faith. And that's where, like Job, individuals like Job that come in and say, Lord, though you slay me, yet will I serve you. Though you have taken everything away from me, yet will I still praise you. I will give you the honor. I will give you the glory. I will still trust you. You know, so that's the though faith. Even when you're not getting everything that you want, you know, you can still say, though I am not a millionaire, Lord, I will still trust you. I will still be faithful with my revenue to you. Though you have not granted me that brand new Tesla car or whatever it is, yet, Lord, I will appreciate this Toyota or Honda that I drive because it gets me to and fro. Lord, though you haven't given me the big house, that mansion that I dreamed of since I was a kid, yet I will still praise you and give thanks to you. So that's the difference between the if and the though faith. We're going to go ahead and bring in Sir Ben. Sir Ben, welcome to tonight's broadcast. It's always a pleasure and honor to have you. Good evening.
Good evening, good evening. It's a pleasure to be with you. Happy Friday, happy Fervent Friday. And please keep me in prayer as I am leaving South Florida in a tropical storm. So let's go.
Okay, all right. Well, we certainly are praying for you for your safety as you leave South Florida. So, Sir Ben, you've heard us talk about if faith, and then we talked about though faith, and this is piggyback on a lot of this of that sermon from Dr. Martin Luther King. What message, if any, can you give to people who might exercise an if faith? God, if you do this, then I'll do that. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, God is, we should not make conditions with God. God is all-knowing, all-willing, and all-available to us, and he knows who we are. He knows our hearts. See, a lot of times we talk about, well, if you do this, we'll do that, but God really knows our hearts, and he knows that most of us, I hate to say this, but most of us are not really truthful about the things that we say. We profess with our mouths, but in our hearts, we don't even really believe. So when we try to make those conditions with God, all we are doing is kind of, in a way, angering God because he knows we're not going to do what he says, what we say we're going to do. We know that. And so that's why he doesn't always bless each and every one of us the way he should. Don't ever think by any means that God's favor is fair to everybody. Some people receive great favor. Some people receive less favor. But the thought of the matter is you have to come to a place in your life where you will trust God beyond your own thoughts, beyond your own big mouth, and beyond your own distruths that you know, and allow him to do what he said he's going to do, which is going to favor you if you just trust and believe in him.
So why do you think people set these conditions that, and they try to negotiate with God? Why do you think that, Sir Ben?
Because we have that Sir Vincent Butler attitude. We have that Santa Claus attitude. Well, Santa Claus, if I'm good, I know you're going to bring me this. We treat God as though it's some of the icons of life that we've been told about. And God is not our Benson, and he's definitely not our Santa Claus, and he's definitely not our tooth fairy. And we need to know that he's all-knowing, all-willing, and he's all-able to do above and exceeding things in our lives. But we've gotten into that conditional thought. A lot of it is just sheer selfishness that we develop over time. But a lot of it is just we really don't really believe, because most of us don't see God, and most of us don't see his miracles on a daily basis. So we think it's just a coincidence, or we think it's just a fluke or a favor. Ooh, you know, I've said many times, just because someone gives you something for free, that doesn't mean it's favor from God. So we get that confused that somebody just giving us stuff. We forget that the enemy gives us stuff too. He gives us all kinds of stuff that leads us into traps that literally puts us in destructive lifestyles.
All right, we're going to ask you to certainly stand by. We're going to ask you to stand by. Let's go ahead and bring in our very new co-host for the evening, Sister Naya. Sister Naya, welcome to tonight's broadcast. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Thank you.
Yeah, so the question tonight, when it comes to your relationship with God, some people have an if faith, and then others have a though faith, like Job, though you slay me, yet will I serve you. How do you interpret these different types of faith, and if faith or though faith, Sister Naya?
I feel like when we have an if faith, it's leaning towards doubt. Like, Lord, if you do this for me, I'll do that for me. Well, we need to understand that God, he can do anything, but he only does what is fit for you. You may not know what is fit for you, but he knows what is fit for you, and that's what he's going to do. So even if you pray and say, Lord, if you do this for me, I'll do this for you, God already knows you're going to fail, because that may not be what he wants. And if it's not what he wants, we're going to fail. So
all right.
Now with Job's
all right.
faith, it's different. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're going to so Darren Deedy, do you think we can
yes.
negotiate with God? As humans, can we negotiate with God? Is there bargaining power there?
I don't think there's bargaining power. We had this conversation just last week, didn't we, about if a father says no, or a parent says no in the same reference. I just think you have to, the spirit man, God lives in each and every one of us, and we really need to follow our heart. And if you spend time in prayer, read the Bible, he speaks to you through the Bible. He speaks through your soul. So you know what's wrong and you know what's right, and you need to ask him questions. He may not talk to you in a voice. He probably talks to everybody in a different way. I hear his message through the Bible. What I read this morning, I can go back tomorrow and read the same, you know, the same passage in the Bible, and I'm not going to get a message because my message came through yesterday, and he does that in the form of the Spirit within us.
Okay, all right. Sir Ben, let me bring you in here. Do you think it's possible to negotiate with God? You know, hey, God, if you do this here for me, you know, I'm your man. I'm your woman. What do you think, Sir Ben?
Well, I don't want to use the term bargain, but I believe that if you have the correct walk and faith in God and belief in God, then he will respond to your desires. I want to go to a story that most people don't really know about Stephen. Stephen was a proponent of God. He spoke Jesus' language, and the preachers and the apostles and the church members didn't like what he was speaking because they knew it was right, and they didn't want to do that which was right. And so when they were stoning him and biting him and all those kind of things, Stephen looked and saw God and Jesus in the heavens, and he reached out and said, please receive me. And there was a pause because the Holy Spirit had to come down and said, Stephen, I can't receive you until you forgive those who are, I want to say, beating you and biting you and trespassing you and just doing you great harm. And when Stephen said, Father, forgive them, don't charge them with what they're doing, at that point, Stephen knelt down and God received him. So in a way, there was a conversation, and there was an understanding of the Holy Spirit. And so there was a period of time when Stephen was able to not bargain, but reason with God. There's another example in the Bible, which most of us don't understand. I don't want to get too technical about it. There was a point where there was a war going on, and God told the sky, the moon, the stars to hold its position and stay in place until the battle was done. I'm sure you'll give them the scripture later. I don't want to listen too long. But that's why we have that day of just extra day in our life, because God made the moon, sun, and everything stay in place for a full day until the battle was won.
Sister Nadia, I want to bring you in here, and I want to ask you, I mean, when Moses was up in that mountain and he saw the fire burning bush and he realized and God spoke to him, did Moses negotiate with God at that time? And then what about I think it was Elijah, one of the prophets who said, Lord, if I be a man, if I be your manservant, when the soldiers, 50 soldiers came with their captain to take him, and he said, if I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume them. And fire did come down, not only one time, but twice. So, Sister Naya, can we negotiate with God? Did Moses negotiate with God?
Amen. I think there's two types of negotiations. There's the negotiation for selfish things, and then there's the negotiation for others. What Moses and Elisha were doing was they were negotiating for others. They were trying to save others, not save themselves. But when we negotiate for ourselves, it's more of things that benefit us. So that is my answer.
Okay, so here we have. So the fact of the matter is, have you ever, Darren D.D., I'm going to come to you on this one here. Have you ever said, well, God, you prayed for something, say, God, if you do this for me, then God, if you let me get this job, then God, I'm going to do this. I'm going to help somebody in need, or whatever the case was. Have you ever used the word if with God?
No, I can't recall, honestly, no. I have prayed that it's like, God, you know I need this job, you know. May the favor go into my, yeah. But I've never said, if you get me this, I'll do that. No, I can't say I have.
Okay. I'm asking myself that same question. Have I ever said, if with God? And yes, I have, on more than one occasion. God, if you do this here, we'll do that.
Me too.
I don't know if I'm negotiating with them, but I've done it probably more times than I can count, well over 100 times. And it's like when I took the bar exam the first time, God, if you let me pass that bar without having to study a lot, give you all the honor, glory, and praise, okay? I prayed that prayer the three times that I failed the bar. And, you know, and I'm still praying that prayer now, you know, and then I'm including it if it be your will. So, Sir Ben, let's bring you in here. Have you ever, you know, tried to, is that bargaining with God? Have you ever done it? Have you ever used the word if with God?
More times than I can even remember on a regular basis. In my immaturity, oh, yeah. I'm some of my greatest negotiators. Lord, if you get me out of this crazy situation, I'll never, ever, ever do that again. Whoops. Uh-oh. Well, okay, Lord, I won't ever, ever do it that way again. But if you get me out of this situation, I'll try not to ever. Oh, yeah, I have negotiated many a times with God. But I'm thankful for my negotiations because as I matured, I understood what it was to actually have a conversation with God. We may think of it as negotiating with God, but I've learned something very valuable in life. The more you talk to more he talks to you. He doesn't discriminate because we're asking for crazy things, but he wants us to get into a posture and a position to be able to come to him and ask him for things. So, yes, I'm guilty, 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 guilty.
Right. And so with me, I don't even call it immaturity because even to this day, I'm still praying to God and like, well, God, if you do this here for me, And even if you don't, God, I'm still going to serve you anyway. So you might wonder, well, does he have an if faith and a though faith? But it's like, there's some things that I really want. I really want. And, you know, it's like, God, I really would like you to do this for me. God, if you do this here, then I'll do that. If I want to give back to the community and it has an economic impact, then unless I ask God for the economics, I don't necessarily see them coming for me to give back. So, yes, God, if you bless me financially, I can be a blessing to so many others. And God has honored that. He really has. We want to hear from you all out there. If you want to press one, if you want to speak to this, have you ever tried to, whether you call it negotiate with God, bargain with God, or plead with him, you know, based on if, or did you say, well, God, not my will, but thy will be done, nevertheless. And Jesus, even on the cross, if you all correct me if I'm wrong, said, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. But if not, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. We want to hear from you all out there. Press one. Let's go to Go Girl. Go Girl, thank you for joining us this evening. It's a pleasure to have you.
It's a pleasure to be here. I'm sorry I'm a little late, but I didn't want to miss this one.
All right, excellent. So let me ask you, Go Girl, have you ever used the word if? God, if you let me get this job, Lord, if you let me get this car, I'm going on this car lot, and Lord, I mean, that's the car, I want that specific car, so if you let me get that, I will do this. Have you ever, Go Girl?
Yes, I haven't really spoken it like I'm speaking to you, but in my heart, it's kind of, you know, that idea is there. Lord, if you just, I'm going to. I can't say what others have done, but I think in our minds we do tend to try to negotiate with God. And even though we know it's not about what we ask for, it's really about his will. But he does allow us to have what we ask for. It does not mean that it's his will. So I do realize that. I think many of us don't understand that concept. And, you know, they say, how do you know? Because this person over here doing everything they want to do and they still having a pleasurable life while you over here struggling. But none of us know what tomorrow is going to bring. So when we look at it and try to decide or judge that this is this and that is that, we don't know what's going to happen in the next 2 minutes. So we're better off to not negotiate, but in our hearts ask for just the faith and ask for the will to want to do his will. Give me the spirit to desire to do what you would want me to do.
All right, and so when you say, Go Girl, that it comes down to whatever has been working for you, I mean, is that fair to say, or can we really tell people, you know, don't try to negotiate with God, don't try to bargain with him, don't try to, you know, but doesn't it come down to your relationship with God?
It does, and we tend to say if you're doing the same thing over and over, and you're going to get the same results. It's outside of the will of God, and
right.
you're striving, even though we aren't perfect, the concept of we're really in our minds want to do the right thing, but we're not always finding ourselves there. But God knows our heart, and I believe he looks at it, and if it wasn't for his son interceding for us, so many times, sometimes we would just be left out there to rot pretty much.
Okay, so I want to stay with you just for a second. Do we always know what the right thing is? I don't. I don't always know what the right thing is. Because
just like you say, it comes down to that relationship, and what might be right for you might not be right for me. So that's why I say we can't be judgmental about what others are asking for or what their expectations are, because where they are in their relationship with God might not be where you are. It's not so much that we're trying to convince, but we should just pray that the Holy Spirit will intervene in what they're trying to accomplish so that they will have that relationship. And it may not be ours, but they'll have the relationship that they need with God so that their faith becomes a reality.
You know, one of the things that has been working for me during my spiritual time and my private time with God, and I haven't even changed that. Well, God, if you do this here for me, I want to be able to do this. And mine basically centers around two purposes. One is with God. I want to do more for him. And then the other one is for humanity. So if I don't feel I'm equipped for to do more for him, God, if you give me this power, if you give me this, then God, I can do this. I don't know if you call it negotiating. I don't know. But I do that even to this day. And God, if you help me with this here, then God, I want to be able to do this for humanity. So it's based on God and humanity, our fellow man. We're going to ask you to stand by. We're going to go to the phone line. We're going to call the first six numbers of your phone. We're not certain who we have online. 434-213. Give us your name, please. 434-213. Or perhaps you're just listening in.
Yeah, can you hear me?
We can hear you now. What's your name?
Okay, my name is Kenny Bateman. This is my first time on your line. And
well, thank you, Mr. Bateman. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes. We're so glad that you're here. Let me ask you the question. Have you ever tried to negotiate or bargain with God or just use the word give? God, if you do this for me, I'll do this.
Oh, yes. Yes, I can recall some times back in my younger days when, before I even got into the church, you know, I would call on God, especially when I was out all night, you know, partying and drinking and got real sick. And I promised God, if you get me through this here, I won't do this again. I won't drink anymore. And then I'll go to church. So to make a long story short, because of my human nature, I fell short in my promise to God as far as that I wouldn't drink anymore. But eventually I did start going to church. God sent someone by, and I first attended a Jehovah's Witness, a holiness church, not Jehovah's Witness, but a holiness church. And that's where I accepted Jesus Christ. Shortly after that, I found out about the Adventist faith. And then I joined the Adventist Church. And I also would like to say that it's probably not so much, you know, of us making, using the word if, you know, God, if you get me out of this, I'll do this, I'll do that, you know. But we had to make sure that we will follow through on that if, on that promise. Because I think about Sapphira and Ananias when they made the promise, God, if you allow us to sell this land for so much, we will give it back to your cause. And, of course, they sold the land. And they got more than what they thought they would. And what did they do? They kept some back. They didn't give all. They said they would give all to the cause of God. And they didn't do that. They kept some back. And so God asked, the Holy Spirit through Peter asked them, how much did you sell the land for? And they said, for such and such. So he lied. because he didn't, he wasn't truthful. And Peter told him, because you lied to the Holy Spirit, someone is coming to take you away. And he dropped dead. So we have to be careful, you know, that even when God answers our prayer, you know, and that we will pay our vow. Whatever we say we're going to do, we have to, you know, we have to be able to pay it. But if we can't pay it, or if we're not going to pay it, it's best not to come at God with, if you do this, I do that, you know.
I agree with you. I agree with you. If we're not going to keep it, Mr. Bacon, we're going to ask you to stand by. We certainly do appreciate your commentary. We're going to try to get back to you momentarily. Let me go here now. If you're just joining us, tonight we're talking about, when it comes to your relationship with God, do you have an if faith or a though faith? And so I want to go back and I want to make sure that there's some clarity here. You know, and I'm talking about my own personal thoughts and opinions here and my relationship with God. It comes down to my relationship with God. And one of the things that I want to say this again for those of you all who have just joined me, you know, I think when it comes to your relationship with God, when we seek guidance from God and direction from God, you don't, you know, nobody can put a but after when God has put a period there. When God has put a period or an exclamation mark there, you don't need validation. You don't need certification from somebody else. You think about this, because you will find that often in life, people will come and try to tell you, oh, that's not faith. That's not a relationship with God. You're maybe, you know, maybe the devil is doing this here for you. And then, yeah, we understand that the devil can do certain things. But based on your relationship with God, you and God, your relationship, God and you, needs to be your personal thing. It needs to be your private thing. It doesn't have to, you know, don't let anybody come in and distract you from your relationship with God, because I have gone in a lot of times. If I did that on our Miracle Prayer Day 2 weeks ago, and we're having our International Divine Intervention Day tomorrow morning, and I want to give a praise report based on this same if, a praise report. And you all don't want to miss that. Tomorrow morning, I'm giving one, a brief praise report. So if you don't call in on time, you're going to miss that. But see, that's my relationship with God, knowing that there's nothing too hard for God. And then part of that if with me is, though God, you know, if you don't do it, and that's where it comes in, where, like Jesus said, not my will, but thy will be done. And then in my life, God has blessed me beyond measure in terms of being able to do certain things in terms of helping people, because it's totally unselfish. And it's given him all the praise, honor, and glory. And so it's like, well, why can't I say, well, God, if you do this here for me, you know, then with the expectation that he is going to do certain things. All right, we're going to bring Sister Naya in. Sister Naya, now that we've kind of set some clarity to certain things, do you think it goes down to people's personal relationship with God. Do you think it sounds logical or rational or reasoning to say, God, if you do this for me, I'll do that? Sister Naya.
You know, like I mentioned before, it really depends on your intention behind it. So if you say, Lord, like for an example, I remember when I did do the if. I said, Lord, if you give me the desires of my heart, I will keep your commandments. Did I do it? No. And that's only because I was overestimating my ability. But I know that he can help me to do it. So it really depends on what your intention is. Are you really doing it because you really, really want to do it, or are you doing it because there's something you want to get out of it, you know, that is purely selfish or something like that?
Okay, so now, shouldn't it be a personal thing, as you're saying, Sister Naya? Because now, see, and I find sometimes we start to criticize and we start to judge, perhaps unaware, Because now we might say, and this is no reflection on you, of course, and I'm just going here with this. Sometimes we can say, well, if this person is saying it like that, then, you know, that's not the right thing. But and maybe that person is not where we are who have reached these
right.
milestones by having our faith in God for ourselves.
Right.
But yet we think that we're sometimes hurting people, and sometimes that has hurt people. Instead of helping them, it has done more to hurt people when you start to criticize or judge, not you, but I'm just saying when people mm-hmm. do this, because it's happened to me. It's happened to me when I'm thinking that I'm sharing something, not in terms of selfishness, but when I'm talking about how we can be a blessing to humanity, to community service out here. And people are like, well, no, you shouldn't pray to God like that because that's not something that God would. You can't tell how, I mean, we can utter things and Jesus comes in as the mediator and interprets it to the Father for us. I mean, we can, you know. So, I mean, who are we to say what somebody should say or not say? Go, girl, I'm going to bring you in here. Your thoughts on that very thing. Do you need somebody to tell you how to communicate with God more effectively?
You know what? I think that our utterance, no matter how unprepared or fragile or it is. I believe if you're sincere, your words are being taken. Your words are being accepted by God. So, you know, these elaborate ideas of how we should present ourselves to God, if a person only is able to speak two or three words, again, God knows their heart. So I think that in some instances when we know better, we do better. But for an individual, just like we say, we're not going to judge because all of us are not at the same place, and we're not that sanctification is not 100 for each and every one of us. So in that case, you might be able to show someone or try to interject, but if it never occurs, I believe God will hear, God will understand, God will accept if it's sincere. And sometimes we don't even know what to say. And he will take it and because he knows what our heart really wants to say.
You know, Go Girl, you are so right. Sometimes we don't know what to say. And that's why I go back to saying, do we always know what the right thing is? And no, in my opinion now, you all, and I say this humbly and respectfully and with love, we don't always know what the right thing is. Because, Go Girl, you said it earlier, what might be right for me may not be right for you. And I may not even want it to be that way. But I can tell you, driving on I-95 years ago, my van at the time I was driving, speeding in the rain, I was doing the wrong thing. Yes, I was doing the wrong thing. I was speeding in the rain on I-95. And lo and behold, my van hydroplaned. And all I could realize, I'm spinning. And in that spin, I see an 18-wheeler coming by. All I could utter was, Father. And that van spun off to the road into a ditch. And the 18-wheeler missed me within a split second. The whole trailer. It's like God stopped time. You know, he stopped time to let me spin, and I'm here today over 30 years later. That could only, and all I could do was call out, Father. And
yes.
He knew. But he stopped. I'm telling you, this happened to me right on I-95, and I was in the wrong, speeding in my van. In the rain.
I always say that we're living off the prayers of our ancestors. We don't even know who they are, but I believe they prayed for so many of us. And they never knew us, but their prayer, their hearts were always to have their children, you know, come to fruition and be guided by the Holy Spirit.
My goodness. Darren Dee Dee, I want to bring you in here. Sir Ben, we're going to bring you in momentarily. Darren Deedy. I mean, we might be fumbling and somebody asks you to pray, and we say we don't even know how to pray. And like Go Girl, I love what Go Girl is saying tonight, because it's like we don't know what to say. We can just mumble stuff. And God knows, because he knows the heart and he knows what he has prepared for you. Darren Deedy, what are your thoughts on that?
I believe, you know, you just say what's on your mind. As a matter of fact, you don't even have to pray out loud to be mumbling. He listens to you. He knows all your thoughts. He knows your actions. But just speak to him, you know, like he's a person. You don't have to say loud, long, extravagant words and quotes from out of the Bible or anything to be heard. He listens to you. That's all I can say. He knows where you're hurting, and he loves to hear you admit that he knows that you're hurting, and you just pray that he helps you through it. So.
Amen. Amen. I love that. Sir Ben, let's bring you in here. Do I need to convince anybody about my relationship with God, Sir Ben? I mean, seriously, whether I have the F faith or the Do faith? And then in what the clarity on this, I want to bring this to you all is, all of my prayers are, God, if you do this for me, I'll do that for you and humanity. But if not, God, not my will, but thy will be done. And I'm okay with that. I have no choice, really. Okay? Sir Ben, your thoughts.
Well, I've been in situations where, I've been in organizations where, I'm going to just put it like it to you. Some people don't like when you're smart and the Holy Spirit is the anointing is occurring in your life. They feel intimidated. They feel some sort of way. So they try to tear you down or diminish you or make you feel like you're not good enough. Or it's just a constant barrage of things that come at you when you're just trying to do the right thing. 2 weeks ago, there was an issue when I was having lunch with somebody where the person said to me, well, why did you leave? And I explained it to him. But I explained it to him not from my own personal perspective, but from the Holy Spirit, the way that he had given it to me to give to the guy. And the gentleman ended up walking away with his head down. And I thought, I just wanted to be a servant. I just wanted to be a servant. But y'all were so busy trying to block me from being a servant. I don't understand why not. I just wanted to serve. I literally got down on one knee and said, I just wanted to serve. Now, the Holy Spirit, whenever he's talking through us, he already has a plan, because we can only see the moment that we're in. The next week I saw him, he came to me and gave me a hug and said, I never knew how wrong we were about what we were doing to you. So when it came to him, it brought a conviction to him, and he came and apologized to me. And now we're able to walk the way we need to be. My advice to you, anybody out there, don't let nobody beat you up with your relationship with God. God is a loving God. Just because you don't like somebody doesn't mean God doesn't like them a lot. Just because you have an issue with somebody doesn't mean God has an issue with them. That's just us. And the Word tells us, if there's an issue or fault with your brother or your aunt, go to them. Talk to them. Let them know what the problem is. They may receive it. They may not. But the point of the matter is, you are able to get into it. We are supposed to love one another. We're not supposed to be trying to tear each other down. If you are tearing somebody down, you are in the wrong posture and position. If you are negative to people, you're in the wrong posture and position. And you think God really loves you for that? Yes, he does love you that. But he wants you to move out of that negative posture. Listen, you cannot make it into heaven if you have unforgiveness in your heart. I'm going to say it again. It is impossible for you to make it into heaven with unforgiveness in your heart. So you have to forgive everybody, everything that's done to you, and live in a peaceful way. I've learned to turn negative words into positive effects. Somebody said something negative to me the other day. I said, oh, thank you. I didn't know that. And I kept on pushing down the road. And the person had to call me back and say, hey, you were not mad at me for saying that to you. Nope, because that's just you talking. And I know what the Holy Spirit and God is doing for me in my life. So I'm not concerned what you're saying. I'm listening to you. But I ain't listening to you. And so just love on each other. Love one another. Love yourself. Go down this road because it's your journey. You were born by yourself. God has your special journey for you, because when you make it to heaven, you go by yourself. You stand before God by yourself. And my other greatest thing is, if you can find a group of people to pray with, by all means, join with them, because there's a great great, great power when you have a good group of people praying for you. And I can tell you honestly, that's a fact.
All right. And Sir Ben, we're almost out of time, you all. We've got about 8 minutes before we close the show out tonight. And if you're just joining us, you can certainly go in and listen to the show in its entirety 20 minutes after it concludes. After we come off the air 20 minutes later, you can go to the website, drjessewalker.com, drjessewalker.com. Sister Naya, I want to bring you in and say, will God give us the desires of our heart? Brother Bateman, we're going to come to you in just a moment, and we're going to ask all of you all 15 seconds or less. Will God give us the desires of our heart? If the desires of my heart is to ask him for something, God, if you give me this, I'll be good. I'll do this. So, I mean, he says he'll give us the desires of our heart. So how can we not say, if you do this for me? Sister Naya.
What I believe is that when the Bible says that God is going to give us the desires of his of our heart, they have to be according to his will. He can't give you something that is not according to his will or is equal to his character. So when I say it, at least the lesson that I've learned, because all my desires, my personal desires, haven't been answered, but when I seek after him and I seek for what he wants, that's when he gives it to me. So for an example, if I pray and I say, Father, give me a Christian man that loves to worship you and loves to serve you, I'm going to get it. Why? Because that's what he wants. He wants me to be with a man of God. But if I ask him for, you know, God, let me be with, some celebrity or something like that, well, obviously that's not going to happen because they don't serve God. So it has to be according to his
will. Oh, wow. They don't serve God? How do you know?
I don't believe they
Sister
serve
Naya?
God. You can tell by
really?
Their actions,
isn't that a
by
judgment
their words,
call?
By their lyrics. Well,
okay, all right. Okay, well, go ahead, finish your thought.
So I was going to say, you know, the Bible says that we shall know them by their fruits. You know, if they are truly men and women of God, they would be promoting God. But that's not what you see on TV. They're not promoting God. They're promoting the opposite of what God wills. So for me, my conclusion is, no, they don't serve God. Well, at least it's not the God of the Bible. It's another type of God or another kind of God.
I serve God. I
promote God. We certainly respect all opinions, you all, and we don't always necessarily agree, but we respect all opinions. But I want to ask, I want to stay with you just for a second. Sir Ben, we'll bring you in a moment. Brother Bateman, we're almost out of time, you all, and we're not going to be able to finish all of this show tonight. But Sister Naya, while I've got you on here, what about it has to be within God's will, you said. What about the prophet who pleaded with God and wrestled with the angel and saying, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me, and this person wanted 15 years extended to their life. They wanted longer life. They didn't want to die. And God granted them that, but yet that was the worst 15 years of that person's life. So was that within God's will to have his life to be extended and that be the worst 15 years of his life? Sister Naya, how do you explain that?
Yes. Absolutely. Well, God is a God of life. I mean, he's forgiven, and he gives you time to work on whatever it is that you need to work on. So with that particular person, he doesn't know what he was going to do, but God doesn't – he hates life being cut off. He doesn't like it. He wants you to improve. He wants you to do better. Even though he knows you're probably going to fail or you're probably not going to make it, he's going to give you an opportunity to live that life according to his will, whether you fail or not.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. We're almost out of time here. Brother Bateman, I want to bring you in just quickly here. Brother Bateman, is it all my fault that I'm as bad as I am? And I'm just figuratively speaking here. Brother Bateman, is it all my fault when my ancestors, Adam and Eve, really got us in this mess that we're in? So how can it be my fault when they messed up? And why am I still punished for that? Brother Bateman, 15 seconds, 20 seconds or less, please.
Well, I think what we have to understand is that, you know, the difference between sin and original sin. We don't pay for the sin, or we're not accountable for the sins of what Adam committed. Adam is responsible for his own sin. We are responsible for what we do, you know, and so we are accountable for what we do, but we're not held responsible for what Adam did in the past. Only he has paid for his own punishment for what he did, and we got to pay for ours.
Okay, but remember now, all the punishment, all the sin fell down on Adam and Eve, because from there, women have to go into, you know, they have pain during labor, okay? Now, men got to eat from the ground. That's where we're getting our food from the ground that has thistles and so forth and all of this kind of stuff. So now when we talk about paying for those sins, what about the generational stuff that we go through? Brother Bateman, quickly here.
I think we are dealing with the result of that, of what Adam did,
where it's the sins and then the original sins. Sin is sin. So there was a degradation where the leaves did not fall off the trees during Adam and Eve's time until sin happened. Then there's a likelihood that the leaves begin to fall because of sin. And so now we're part of that lineage, if you please. Then we are to that same thing. Go, girl, I want to bring you in here and say, now, you know, is it all our fault when our parents messed up? Why didn't we get another chance, or do we have another chance when, you know, we know that Jesus came and he died on the cross and so forth and so on, the innocent lamb, to restore us back to the Father? Go, girl, your thoughts.
As long as we have life, we have a chance. So we're not as yet judged, but when we go our lights out, that is the end of what we have prepared or what we have done while we were able to make those decisions. So in terms of whether or not we are responsible, we are responsible for our own actions. We are not responsible for Adam and Eve. However, the sins of the father will reach into the third and the fourth generation. It might not touch one of yours, but it may touch another, you know. So we have to be so clear about what we're doing. And we got to live with consequences. The consequences of Adam and Eve, yes, they fell on us. They're going to continue to fall. However, it does not mean that we cannot or we're not entitled to living a life within God or enjoying this life, having to work and feed ourselves from the ground. It may seem like sometimes it's, you know, it's not fair, but it's fair because when we look back at previous generations, most of them have had to work much harder than we had to work. And it'll always be that way. Now it looks like it's kind of going the other way that, you know, our kids and our grandkids are going to have to work a lot different. They're working harder, smarter, but it's a different mindset of having to manage what you have.
All right. We're almost out of time. Thank you for that. Go, girl. Sister Naya, we're going to give you a 30-second commercial, and then I got to close the show. Sister Naya, a 30-second commercial on what you do. She's not only one of our co-hosts, she's also one of our sponsors.
Thank you. My name is Sister Naya. I am CEO of Mount Zion Health and Wellness Center, located in the state of Minnesota. We provide health programs and educational and informational materials in the areas of natural remedies and diet and exercise based on scientific research, and I put emphasis on that for a reason, that is believed to help you heal from your condition. Our procedure at Mount Zion Health and Wellness Center offers a spiritual-based approach coupled with scientific support to our customized health plans. Now, we do not charge for our services. It's a freewill offering, so if the Lord impresses it in your heart to give, you can give. If not, we're not going to take it personal. We do not promote, diagnose, state, or make any claims of any cures relative to your condition or situation. We highly recommend you to consult your own appropriate medical personnel before participating in our health programs. For more information, we can be reached at 507-840-2165, 507 840-265, and then you can also email me at info@mtzion, Z-I-O-N, health, H-E-A-L-T-H, .org. Thank you, Dr. Walker, and all my fellow co-hosts and all the listeners. Thank you for this opportunity.
Absolutely. We certainly appreciate all of you all being here tonight. We're out of time. I just want to give this closing thought. Listen, you know, when it comes to your faith, when it comes to your faith, you know, the if faith, you know, as long as you're concluding that, in my opinion here, that not my will, but thy will be done. Jesus Christ on the cross, Lord God, Father, if you see fit that this cup pass me by, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. God does grant us the desires of our heart, and sometimes we even get it without it even being, you know, because you got people who are being blessed that don't even call upon the name of the Lord. So God even grants them, because a lot of that has to do with their own faith, and they don't necessarily call it faith, but it's because of their labor, their work, their ethics, and so forth, that they reach these levels of success. And you know what? If people who, what I've grown up to believe, if people can be so blessed that don't even call on the name of the Lord, then I've had that conversation with God. Then, God, if I'm calling upon you and I have faith and I put my work ethics with that, and therefore God blesses that. And you all will want to hear tomorrow morning, I'm telling you, the praise report that I'm going to give, I'm talking about in 1 week's time, what God, because we have Miracle Prayer Day. We have Miracle Prayer Day, and then 2 weeks later, we have International Divine Intervention Day. When you hear the praise report tomorrow morning, 6:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, we're on there till 8:30. You got to be there. You got to listen to this. You know, tomorrow's topic is, what do you do when your faith is not working? What do you do? That's the topic tomorrow. Please, you all, you don't want to miss that tomorrow. We're talking about if faith or dope faith tonight. But you know what? At the end of the day, if it's not your will, I'm going to trust you anyway. When my mother was killed in a car accident over 25 years ago, my mother was my best friend. My best friend. When I got the call from my niece, and they had to shut the road, the accident was so horrific, and I went to the tree in the front of my yard, but the spirit had already told me something had happened to my mother, who was visiting the town that day, to have dinner with me that evening. That evening, I'm the last son of 9 children that she often came and spent time with me. I'm the one that she prophesied that I would be that minister, and I am that minister today. But when I got that call, I knew something had happened to my mother, because the Lord had already prepared me. I went to this tree and started pounding this tree. And I said, God, if I knew alcohol, I would drink myself to death. God, if I knew drugs, I would inject myself. God, I say, but all I know, God, is you. You're all I know, so I'm going to trust you where I can't trace you. And even to this day, some 25-plus years later, I love my mom. I miss my mom. We were going to have a dinner that evening. I look forward to that great family reunion when I will see my mom again. And that's my faith, and that's my prayer. And I'm telling you, don't let anybody shake your faith. I'm going to leave you with that thought. Don't let anyone judge you, criticize you, or shake your faith when it comes to God. We're out of time. Join us here tomorrow morning for our International Divine Intervention Day that starts at 6:30 and ends at 8:30 in the morning, Eastern Standard Time. Of course, if you choose to bypass tomorrow's program, join us back here. Be here next Thursday for the Dr. Jess Walker Show, or next Friday for your one-hour inspirational programming. Until tomorrow morning, or until next week, I say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Bye.